Last week, we began a discussion with Don Miguel Ruiz regarding his book, The Mastery of Love, A Practical Guide to the Art of Relationship. As he states, what you are is a force that makes it possible for your body to live, a force that makes it possible for your whole mind to dream. You are life. Let's enjoy it with Don Miguel Ruiz. I'm Robin Clare. Stay tuned. This is Tributaries. When you talk about the track of love and the track of fear, is there any intersection of the two?
Well, to create those two tracks is a metaphor that that we have the awareness where we are. It's not exactly a complete truth. You know, I give the characteristics of love when you're in the track of love and the characteristics of fear. But in reality, we can see that we can go from one track to the other and we recover awareness and we return to the other one. It's not that we live 100% in one of those tracks, but we have the tendency to live in the track of love the most as possible.
I know in the Toltec tradition, mastery of the dream is essentially it. Is that true? And how do you go about that?
Well, you know, this is very interesting because one of the things that we discover is that everything is a dream. We dream when we are awake and we dream when we are sleeping also. And what we perceive is just our point of view. And that point of view is only true for us, but not necessarily true for anybody else. When we discover that we live in a dream, we also discover that we are the artist who is modifying that dream. And this is something so beautiful, because once that you discover that you're the creator of the dream, now you're in the possibility to create your life as a piece of art. And knowing that everything is just your projection, is your point of view. And when you discover that, you don't need to impose your point of view to other people, but you can exchange those points of view and see how the other artists create their dream. Then that becomes something so beautiful when you master the dream.
In Mastering the Dream, you talk about dreamers and stalkers. Mm-hmm.
Well, mainly we can say that every human is a dreamer. There's only dreamers. What I call stalkers is for the people who don't know that life is a dream. And they see reality as something completely real, which is another way to face life also. Then a stalker, we can say that is that dreamer that can swear that reality is completely real and base all those decisions based in that reality until they discover that they are dreaming also. For example, if we imagine that we are artists and we create all those beautiful paints, and for whatever reason, we meet a master like a Picasso, like Leonardo da Vinci or any of them, we see that what they express in their paints is the way how they see the world. Like if Picasso make a portrait of you, when you see your portrait that comes from Picasso, immediately you will say, okay, this is not me. But Picasso will say, yes, this is you. This is how I see you. And it's the same with every human. We perceive the whole universe, the whole world, but we make that interpretation. We make a story about everything that we perceive. And that is what makes life so wonderful.
Yes, and I think that's what makes visual art so wonderful, because it's so benign in a sense.
Yes.
Even if someone looks at their portrait from an artist and says, well, that isn't me, it isn't something that seems to really attack them, whereas words, for instance, can feel that way.
Yes, and this is how the artist sees you. Then every artist, every dreamer, sees you in a completely different way. When somebody meets you, that somebody will create all those characteristics of you that only live in their mind. That is not really you. But in their mind, this is what they believe you are. Then, for example, if your mother starts talking about you, what you will hear is how your mother perceives you, not exactly what you are. That when you discover that, you will know that not even your mother really knows you. She only knows the way that she perceives you and gives you those characteristics, which is okay, is in her mind. I hope this makes sense.
Of course it does, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the chapter 8 is interesting in your book. You call sex the biggest demon in hell.
Oh, definitely. You know, at the same time, it's the biggest angel, but also it's the biggest demon. You know, we have all those beliefs about sex that when we describe it, it becomes something horrible. You see, we have all those beliefs that make sex something dirty, if we can say it that way, when it's not at all. It's one of the most beautiful expressions that humans have. But the way that we make the interpretation, the way we judge, the way that make it right or wrong, it creates that conflict. That really becomes the biggest demon. We can say that all around us, there's so many broken hearts, and there's so many people, we can say, searching for justice, for something that they believe is not fair. And they believe it's not fair because the couple don't do what they want them to do. Then when we start talking about sex, we start seeing all those human characteristics, all that emotional poison, all those judgments. Then this is the reason why I say in this book that sex can become the worst demon in hell, because we use that demon against ourselves. But on the other hand, if we are impeccable with sex, sex becomes the most beautiful expression of love that we humans have.
So what do you mean when you say impeccable with sex?
What I mean is that we don't use sex against ourselves. We have sex, and we can use that concept of sex in order to hurt ourselves, to create jealousy, to be possessive, to be egocentric with sex. There's so many ways that we can use sex against ourselves. But if we are impeccable, that means that we don't use it against ourselves. Sex becomes a great blessing.
Now, in the Toltec tradition, were there rules set up as far as marriage and you only have sex with the person you're married to and all that kind of thing? Or is that something that really came along and got written about more in the Bible, would you say?
Well, in the Toltec knowledge, we can say that it's the individual, the ones who make the choice. And it's different in every individual. You know, like there's some people who have multiple partners. That could be good or bad, and it depends the person. Like if you want to be monogamous, you will choose someone who believes the way you believe and be happy for the rest of your life. But if you don't believe in monogamy, and to be monogamous, you can have many different partners, and it's just you. Nobody lives your life but you. But what is important is for you to know what is what you want and rule your sexual life in that way. It's not that one is right and the other is wrong. No, it's just judgments that we have.
So the Toltec religion, or not religion, I'm sorry, the Toltec teachings, rather, are really quite freeing in that, aren't they?
Well, definitely is have a lot of freedom and have a lot of respect, because the interaction is based in respect. Then when you respect yourself, you have your own rules, and you will say, well, this is what I want to be in my life, and this is what I don't want to be in my life. And that can change, of course, from one moment to the next. But you are really in control of your own life, and you don't do things because somebody else told you that this is the right way or the wrong way to do it. And, of course, there's the societal rules. We have to follow those rules in order to be in a good relationship with the rest of society. This is not something so rigid, but we need to obey society also, because we depend on society. Then we live our life as individuals and as a society also, supporting each other and support each other's happiness the most that we can.
Now, what is the key for acknowledging the separate needs of the mind and the body? And what do you see are the needs of the mind?
Okay, well, the mind is really a virtual reality. It's not that real. Then the needs of the mind are not that real either. As the needs of the body, they're so real that we have the need to eat, they need to drink, they need to sleep, and all that will satisfy the needs of our physical body. But in the mind is something completely different. What is important is that many times the mind says, I need that, like the body says. Like the mind can say, well, I need food, I need this, I need that. When the truth is that it's the body, the ones who have those needs, not the mind. We cannot satisfy the mind the way we can satisfy the physical body. Then the need of the mind is more about accumulating knowledge, about to share knowledge, about communication. It's a little different. And it's not that I want to make a separation, really, because mind and body is a unity that is hard to survive one without the other.
That's very true. And yet, if we come out of balance, as you bring up in your book, The Mastery of Love, using food, mm-hmm. I mean, your body is satisfied and your mind tells you, eat more, just to satisfy something else.
We can have a big body, big fat body, and still thinking we need more food. And the same is you have a house, and they might say, I need another house, and I need another house. Or you open your closet, and you say, I have no clothes to wear, when the closet is full of clothes. This is when the mind say, I need.
So how do you recommend people move out of that loop or recognize that loop then?
Well, first of all is to recover the awareness, to know what we are doing. And not because we know that, that means that we have to change. No, we change when we really need that change. Because there's so many things in our life that we don't want to change it. But there's other things that is good if we change it. Especially all those things that leading us into life based on fear. To break all those limitations who keep us in a certain way of life that don't allow us to progress in life.
Do you think people are surprised to recognize they live so much from fear when they start looking?
Well, I think it's a big surprise because there's so many people who they don't believe, oh, I do that because of fear. They deny that they have that fear. But when they really discover, they can see that just breaking those limitations, life becomes so big that we really can create the most we can without any limitations. You know, from in my point of view, life is about creating, it's about giving, it's about sharing. And if we don't do that, it's because we limit ourselves. We are so afraid to look for the right job, to let go of the old job, to explore new ways of life. And when we do that, we discover that it was just fear.
How do you approach your teaching? Where do you start? I know you teach workshops and have apprentices. And
well, the first thing is communication. It's always to learn to listen and give the information and have agreements. And the agreements is different with each person. It's not the same with everybody. You know, one of the greatest keys in life is to learn to listen. Because until you learn to listen, now you know the needs of that people, what they want. And you give them what they ask for. You don't give more than that. Because if you give a little more than that, they don't take it. Then if in an apprenticeship, what I really teach is the art of dreaming. Let them know the possibilities that everybody have in order to make their life as a masterpiece of art, that they learn to trust themselves, to have faith in themselves. And it's so beautiful to see the results.
Now, in teaching the dreaming, do you teach about dreaming while you're sleeping as opposed to dreaming while you're awake?
Well, I teach both sides. But the most important part is to teach them to dream when they are awake. That they can see that every decision that they made always will have a consequence. A consequence can be good or bad or right or wrong. But they take responsibility. And they learn to trust themselves more and more and more. When they go to sleep, the dream is a little different. And that kind of dreaming, we explore all those different possibilities. But it's without a reason. But for me, it's more important the dreaming when we are awake.
So I'm wondering if you would like to share, Miguel. I know you've just, I don't know if interrupted is quite the right word, but you've been through some serious physical complications in the last few months.
Yes, and in the beginning of February, I have a heart attack. And I went to the hospital, and I spent 9 weeks in the hospital. And it was 3 times that I was very close to die. And I think it was a great experience. You know, when I had the heart attack, I knew there was a heart attack, and I knew that I was dying. I called the paramedics right away, and in less than 15 minutes, I was in the hospital. But the heart attack was very extensive, and I have the possibility to let my apprentices to know that I have a heart attack, and to let them know that, you know, death is welcome anytime. I don't have any resistance, and I was not afraid at all. I have that intense pain, but there was no fear, and that was very impressive also, to see how easy we can take a transition like that.
And I would imagine that by not holding on to that fear, your recovery was greatly enhanced.
Well, yes. After 9 months when I left the hospital, I didn't have even the strength to walk. But in less than 1 month, I became almost normal. And, well, life is so wonderful that even if I'm still alive, I enjoy every single moment. In that direction, nothing changed really in my life, because I've been living like that for so long that I know that death can come at any moment, and I really will not resist it. But at the same time, I don't give myself to death. I'm not looking for death either. And I can see that being in that way, life becomes something so beautiful and, I can say, so divine, that in every moment I have that communion with the Creator.
Miguel, did you surprise yourself by feeling so completely this way?
Well, not really. You know, like 2 days before my heart attack, I was in Oaxaca with a group of people. And in that journey, I let them know that perhaps I will not live that long. And I let them know that that my life can be over at any moment. And I let them know that whatever I did in life was complete, that I have nothing else to do. And if for whatever reason I stay longer, then I will create more and more as I can, because this is my way of life. And after that, 2 days later, I have the heart attack. It's like I knew what was happening. Mm. And all my apprentices knew. Then when I told them, they didn't believe that that will happen that soon. And it was a big surprise for everybody that 2 days later, I was in a hospital in intensive care.
Was this in the United States?
Yes, here in San Diego. I have a great attention. You know, there was a lot of people who want to see me, but once that you have the heart attack, they start giving you some drugs. That for 9 months, I was not aware whatever was happening in this reality.
For 9 weeks, you mean?
Yes, for 9 weeks.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of wonderful dreams that 9 weeks. You know, it was so incredible, everything that we can do without the physical body. And it's so beautiful. First, that moment of total awareness arise. It's like you know everything without a question.
What was it like for you to have all of those drugs in your system? I'm assuming, you know, just because of your tradition where you came from, you know, your mother, I'm sure, used different energies and plants and that sort of thing, and then there you were on pretty heavy-duty drugs.
Well, yes. In my whole life, I never used drugs. The only drugs that I used when I was very young, it was alcohol, when I had that accident. But after alcohol, I never used any drug. But when they start putting the morphine in my body, I went to dreaming right away. And I don't even notice that that I was in drugs. And I wake up and there's no need and about drugs or anything. It's just beautiful. Life is just beautiful.
Did you find that you had to wean yourself off slowly from the drugs, or were you...
Not really. I wasn't even aware of that drugs in my body.
Great. So would you like to share your website so people can get more connected to what you're doing?
Yes, it's miguelruiz.com. www.miguelruiz.com.
And that's MIGUELRUIZ. All right. And Miguel, I'm wondering, would you like to close with us with a prayer?
Oh, it will be a pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we are here with you just to share our love with you. There's nothing we need to ask from you. We are here just to love you, to surrender to you, and to let them know, let you know that everything that we do, everything that we create, is always in your name. God bless each one of you. With all my heart. Amen.
A beautiful message from a beautiful man, Don Miguel Ruiz, The Mastery of Love, a practical guide to the art of relationship. And if you don't know, The Four Agreements is another brilliant bit of philosophy for life from the Toltec tradition from Mexico. For any guest information, to listen to archives, share resources, and sign up for weekly programming, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. And for podcasting on iTunes, it's Tributaries Radio. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.